Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and we're going to look at the 40th verse there. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verse 40. So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes pressed upon him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind him, touched the border of his garments, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes press upon you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word and that you would meet us right at our heart, Father, that you would lead us closer to you. Father, that you would use this time as a challenging time. And we thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. I like the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. It is truly a place where God reveals that Jesus is the Messiah and nothing less. In fact, in this chapter, there is everything a rational mind would need to understand that Jesus is more than a mere man, more than a spiritual leader, more than a man come from God. He is God come to man. In this chapter, we've seen Jesus breach the mental barriers of the demoniac. He defeated over 6,000 demons and restored life and purpose to a devastated and defeated man. Then Jesus is approached by Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. His daughter is dying. He is desperate. Any caring parent would understand. Listen, when your child is hurting, you will do anything for your child. You will go anywhere. You will spend anything. You will do all that is possible to bring help to your child, and that is what Jairus is doing. And so we understand his situation. Now, sandwiched in between those two terrible situations, while Jesus is on his way to a miracle, there is another problem. And so between the demoniac and death, there is an individual with a fading life. To the outside world, this is an interruption. Jesus has cast out demons. He's moving to help a dying girl. What could be more important? What could stop him in his way? The precious child is 12 years of age. Her life is really just kind of getting started. Jesus would certainly want to go to her quickly, to help her quickly. Jesus values her life. In fact, that's one thing that comes across in this passage of Scripture is how much Jesus cares for those around him. He values the life of the dying girl. He values the life of the used up demoniac. And he values the life of a woman that is suffering. Every life is important in Jesus' eyes. The demoniac who was naked and living in the tombs, the woman with the issue of blood, the dying girl, all are valued by Jesus. That's a John 3:16 kind of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came for everyone. He is interested in every single individual. He is concerned about everyone who would respond to him. And he reaches out with a message to you. The simple truth of this great chapter is, if Jesus would come for a dirty, depraved demoniac, a depleted, diseased woman, a dying little girl, Jesus cares for you. You know, our world has been shaken by this slogan, Black Lives Matter. I think that's a ridiculous statement. All lives matter. Any nationality matters. Any race matters. You matter to Jesus. He loves you. He loves each and every one. He loves you if you're well, and he loves you if you have a problem. And so we see this woman's disease in verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years who had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. The Bible reveals that while Jesus is on his way with Jairus, this woman touches the hem of his garment. She had an issue of blood. That term issue of blood, it's not a very delicate issue. You're entering into things that people don't talk about a whole lot. And so it is a touchy subject, but she had been hemorrhaging. In fact, that word in the Greek is the word from which we get our word hemorrhage. May I say, I'm not a doctor, but in my weak medical knowledge, it's not good to hemorrhage. It's not good to hemorrhage for a short time. It is certainly not good to hemorrhage for a long time. In fact, the longer one loses blood, the more dangerous that is to a person's life. The loss of blood would mean a loss of energy. When she said she felt drained, she really meant it. She had this disease for 12 years, 144 months, 4,383 days, 624 weeks, 105,192 hours, and she felt depleted in each and every one of those hours. In Mark's gospel, the disease is identified as a plague. The word he uses for plague is the word for a lash, a whipping. And so this actually would lash her with difficulty and with pain. The disease brought other consequences. A person with an issue of blood was determined to be unclean. She was unclean in the same way that a leper was determined to be unclean. This meant that she could not be hugged and comforted by her husband, children, family, or friends. She was ceremonially unclean. That meant she couldn't go to church. She could not stand and be forgiven at Yom Kippur, and she could not sit at the table of the Passover. She couldn't fulfill any of the normal duties performed by a wife and mother. She couldn't prepare food. She couldn't come to the aid of a crying child. The disease is an illustration of what sin does in a life. That really is what disease shows us in this world. This illness drained her, and sin will drain you. It robbed her, and yes, sin will rob you. Sin takes away. It never gives. It never blesses. Sin divides family. This disease divided families. This disease destroyed friendships. Sin will destroy friendships. And this disease robbed her future, and sin will take away from your future. The world today is going soft on the thing we call sin. Sin, anything that is contrary to God's will. The world says everything is okay. We are in a world of toleration, and so we tolerate the sin, and we, in that toleration, sometimes elevate the sin. Even churches today are going soft on sin, but let me tell you, God doesn't. The Bible does not. Sin wreaks havoc in lives, and the Bible is very directly against sin. The Bible's against your sin. The Bible is against my sin. But while the Bible very much is against whatever sin is in your life or in my life, God's word to us is very redeeming and very caring, and God's word loves the sinner. I'm so glad that God loves the sinner, because that means that God loves me. This woman had become desperate. She sought the cures of her day. The Talmud kind of gives us an idea of some of the things this woman may have gone through in seeking a cure. Their cures were a little difficult. One was that she would light a fire in a ditch and then go sit on the hot coals. If she didn't have emotional difficulties before that time, she would certainly have them after that time. She would take the weight of a silver coin of a gum of Alexandria, that's alum and crocus, and bruise them together, put them in a cup of wine and drink it. She would take three Persian onions and boil them in wine and drink that. And someone would say, "Arise from your flux." She would sit at the fork of a road with a cup of wine, and someone would sneak up and scare her. Might not cure her issue of blood, but probably took care of her hiccups. You kind of begin to understand what it means when it says she suffered much at the hands of the physicians. You know, Mark gives us that phrase. Luke does not. Maybe because Luke is a doctor, he doesn't. Professional courtesy comes in. Both reveal that she spent all her living. Most of us could understand what it is to spend all your living on medical needs. And she wasn't any better. You can go to all the doctors. You can go to all the psychologists. You can read all the help links on Google. You're not going to find a remedy for sin. The only thing that remedies sin is Jesus. And so we see this woman's disease, but we also see this woman's determination. In verse 44, she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. This is a determined woman. She wants to be well. You know, in one case, Jesus approached a man that had been sick and asked him if he wanted to be well. Some people just kind of enjoy their sickness. Not this woman. This woman wanted to live. This woman wanted to be well. She wanted to be right. She wanted to be able to relate to others. She believed there had to be something better, and she wasn't going to stop until she found what that was. One day, she heard about Jesus. They were saying Jesus was able to heal the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He healed others. Certainly, he could heal her. If he could heal, he could be the Messiah. She thought, if he can take care of the blind, if he can take care of the lepers, if he can do those things, he could heal me of my unclean situation. Mark tells us the woman heard about Jesus. She was very desperate to be well. She not only went to all the doctors, she probably listened to what everybody said. You ever get sick and you ask your friends what they think about it, and you listen to every cure that comes along? You're willing to try anything sometimes. That's where she was. She had listened to others. She had tried what others had said, and none of it worked. But then she heard of Jesus. Unlike all the others that she followed, Jesus had a track record. You go into a doctor's office, they have these nice diplomas on the wall. It's good to know that they graduated, isn't it? It's good to know they have a degree. It doesn't tell you anything about how good a doctor they are. Wouldn't it be better if they had their report cards? Maybe Maybe they had an A in some things, but maybe they had a C or D in what you needed. Well, Jesus had the witness of a perfect report card. Real people were experiencing changed lives just by coming into contact with Jesus. The scripture proclaims that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As she heard of Jesus, the living word, faith began to grow in her. As she heard the truth of Jesus, she went from no hope to possible hope. And then when she heard Jesus was near, her hope just exploded and she moved into action. She wasn't going to miss this opportunity. Now, what if nobody had told her about Jesus? What if nobody had ever said anything about Jesus healing others? What if nobody had shared what Jesus had been able to do? This woman would very likely have gone to her death, and not too distant from this day. She would have lived out her miserable existence and died. The good news of Jesus and what he has done has got to get out. And if you have had Jesus do anything in your life, if Jesus has meant anything to you, you need to share it with those around you. How else are they going to know? How else are they going to hear? And it is in that hearing that their faith can grow. There are people who are hurting, waiting, listening for some word that would give them hope. We've got to tell them about Jesus. She hears that Jesus is near. And so she acts on her faith. It's not enough just to believe. You need to act on what you believe. There were still obstacles in her way. She gets close to Jesus, but she can't get close to Jesus. There are people all around him, and she's kind of a frail person in that crowd, but she's determined. Perhaps she overheard Jairus say that his daughter was sick and asked Jesus to come to her aid. And maybe in hearing that, she thought her opportunity was gone. But no, she wasn't going to let Jesus get away. She just needed to touch the hem of his garment and everything would be okay. She squeezed through. She pushed through the other people, the bigger people, the stronger people. She was determined not to stop until she reached him, and she reached out with all of her effort, just wanting to graze her hand against him in some way, and then she felt that piece of cloth, and she touched him. She didn't have to go back to a doctor to know. Immediately, she just knew within herself that her issue of blood was healed, that she was well. Her faith, her determination had moved her to do what she needed to do in order to bring her to Jesus. And in getting to Jesus, in touching Jesus, it changed everything. And we see the woman's deliverance in verse 48. Jesus says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you well." The moment she reached out to Jesus in faith, Jesus knew it. He said, "Who touched me?" Now, I don't know whether you have ever seen a group of people in the Middle East as they gather together. They usually don't space out very well. I've been in Israel in the middle of a press. That's when people are trying to get to some place and you're just kind of moved along with the crowd. Sometimes you don't even have to walk. They'll just kind of carry you on in the press. Well, I can imagine how tight these people were together. They're not yielding 6 feet. They're not yielding 2 feet. They are right on top of each other, and here she is trying to work her way through that crowd. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" The disciples look at him like, "Have you lost your mind?" A better question would be, "Who didn't touch you?" But there was a difference. You see, many people touched Jesus, but she touched him with faith. Well, today we have many people that come to church, or many people that listen online, many people that get the news of Jesus and his word, and they hear it and it passes to them and through them, but they don't change by it. The changing ingredients is the faith. Her touch was a touch of belief. Her touch was a touch knowing that Jesus could heal her, and indeed that's what took place. She was willing to be healed and to go away quietly, but Jesus wasn't willing for that to happen. He identifies her because she needed to be identified. Jesus calls people to come publicly. Jesus calls you to come out for him, to let other people know that he is part of your life, to let other people know what he is doing in your life. And so Jesus gives her that opportunity. She admitted that it was her, and Jesus calmed her fears and assured her her faith. Her faith was what made her healing possible. Now here we are in the middle of this pandemic and a coming election that could change our entire nation, and we see the struggle going on, and school is starting, but some are not starting at school, and some are problemed by going to school, and people wonder how they're going to cope, and stress is mounting, and I am telling you that we need to reach out to Jesus. We need to encourage others and point others to Jesus. In this day where the devil believes that he would shut down churches, we need to get the gospel out in a stronger way than ever before. And it behooves you as much as me, to anyone you see, to get the message of Jesus to them. For you're the only conduit they may have. And stand for Jesus believing. And for whatever you are going through personally, and for whatever stress or whatever difficulty you're finding, reach out to Jesus. Trust him. Oh, and he will see you through. This woman was never the same. Her life was back, better than ever. All because of Jesus. That's what needs to happen in your life and in my life, that we focus on him and we allow him to guide us, and we touch him in faith and we see the miracle of what he can do. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we ask in this moment that you would search our hearts. And Father, as there are those in this group that will reach out to you in faith, I pray that you will meet them at their faith. Father, you will assure them that you are working in their lives, that you will meet them, Father, that you will touch their lives and you will bring blessing to them. Father, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, I pray that they would receive Jesus this very moment, that they would invite Jesus to come into their heart and save their soul. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful to you to share the message of what you have done. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I ask that you'd take your cards with you and put